You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech this leap day. I'm Steve Dotto. Glad you could join us today. I think this is the first time I've ever done a radio show on Leap Day, Art.
Well, that's only because you work only once every 4 years.
No, I don't just work once every 4 years.
You work 3 years and you take a year off, and you always miss this.
That would be okay. I would like that. I would like that. What do they call today? What is the official, like, is it Leap Day? Is it Leap Year Day? It's February 29th. I know that, but what?
I think it's Leap Day.
Leap Day.
You want me to Google it?
No, don't bother.
Okay.
I'm really not all that interested. How's things going?
Things are good. Busy week. I get Vancouver Playhouse International Wine Festival starts tomorrow, and I'm on location with those guys.
The food and wine show's there?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to be
the
in
Playhouse
the
Wine Festival, the one for the Playhouse?
The big one.
Oh, I've been to that before.
It's good times.
I can't remember.
it was that good?
It was walking up and down, and being a minor celebrity at that was fun because people would call me over, and if they liked the show, they would reach under the table and get the different bottle than the one they were sharing with other people.
Of course.
And I went with a look of, you know, to buy wine in my budget. You know, I like buying $12, $15 bottles of wine.
You can find great bottles.
And it keeps saying that, and that's fine. And so we wanted to find new wines in the $12 to $15 because we've got, you know, this roster of ones that we do buy. But then as soon as people started reaching under the table and bringing out the $80 bottles and giving us shots of that, pretty much that plan went out the window.
Yeah.
And I was just looking for the best possible wine we could taste for the rest of it. That is a spectacular event.
I'm getting to the point where I can taste the difference now between good wine and cheap wine.
Absolutely.
And it's not good because my price range still is under the cheap wine category.
Even with all the money you're saving in your garden suite.
Even though, yes, I'm in the garden suite. I should be above ground, but I'm not.
Hey, have you been following this story at all that's been happening with Apple and a company called ProView in Hong Kong?
No, but I'm very interested.
Okay, Apple, this company called ProView has basically sued Apple because they say Apple is inappropriately using the name iPad. And what it is it's quite a story is coming out. Now, I'm pretty sure Apple is on pretty firm legal footing, but what the ProView has done is they've attacked Apple, especially in China, where they're saying that Apple doesn't have the right to use the iPad name. And how it all came down was before Apple launched the iPad, and the year before they launched the iPad, they hired an acquisition specialist who set up a shell company that approached this company, ProView, which had the name iPad under trademark, I guess, and bought it from these people, the iPad name, without them knowing that they were selling it to Apple. Now, Apple and other large companies have to do this sort of thing on a regular basis because if you know that you're selling to Apple as opposed to just some guy, you're going to, of course, think deep pockets.
Yes, payday.
Crank up the price tag, right? So Apple feels that in order to pay a fair amount, they have to kind of have this kind of subterfuge, which as far as I can tell isn't illegal. It's not against the law to do this. So they bought it through their third-party company, and then now ProView, which is a company which is in desperate straits financially anyways, has seen this as a lifeline. So they're now suing Apple for billions of dollars for the name and trying to basically blackmailing Apple. And so, you know, on one side, I kind of get the fact that, you know, it sucks that, you know, you sit there, you have this product, and a major company comes and wants to buy it, but they pretend there's something else in order to get it from you cheaper. That's kind of distasteful.
But is it the product or just the name that they wanted?
They just wanted the name.
Okay.
And the other thing is, would the iPad name be worth anything today if Apple hadn't created a brilliant product around the iPad name?
Right.
So Apple's created the value in the name. So these guys kind of coming in late. It's at any rate, it's a fairly interesting story as it's just been, you know, flowing through. And now the lawyers are going back and forth. And ProView, despite the fact that they're nearly broke and they're about to be delisted on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, has found enough money to hire a major PR company in North America to put out their story and to try and garner some public sympathy for their plight.
I wonder how many people knew that this was like the way of making some money, the same way that people bought website and domain names. Like, I wonder if people are trademarking everything, iCar, iMicrophone.
Oh, they did try for a while, and Apple went after that stuff big time. Apple, you know, they're like the Olympics. Anything with a little letter I before it, Apple is made sure that they've got, you know, locked down as much as they can. And, yeah, so it certainly is a... Yeah, it's kind of a type of blackmail, isn't it? It's prospecting, but it's a type of blackmail as well. Hey, we should tell people what's on the show today, because we have a spectacular show lined up. At least I think it's spectacular.
It's the Giving Back show.
Giving Back? Why do you say that?
Well, the computers.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. We're going to be talking with the folks from Computers for Schools in BC. Last week, they gave away or shipped their 120,000th computer into the school systems, into the education system here in the province. And these are recycled computers that come out of industry, are refurbished, and then put directly to work in the school system. 120,000 computers. Wow. They've poured into our school system, which means that the school system hasn't had to buy at full pop retail computers, and kids sit down and they learn and they work on these computers, and they last for, I don't know, 3, 5, 8, 9 more years in the system. So we're going to be talking to Mary Ann Waddington, and we're also going to be talking to a computer coordinator in a local high school, Peter Vogel, who has taken advantage and used this, and we're going to talk to him about his experience with them. And an old buddy, Jim Galpin, who is with Avast. They're an online security company. We're going to be talking about what we should be doing to protect ourselves, especially with smartphones. As the mobility world is, we're putting so much of our core information on our smartphones. Now we start after thinking about securing our phone.
They're little tiny computers.
They
make sense.
Little tiny computers, and they carry such a large amount of information about us. Information which, of course, with Bill C-30 that we were talking about at length last week, lots of feedback from listeners to last week's show about Bill C-30. Of course, that is something that we should continue to keep an eye on. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech. Coming up just a little bit later on the show, we are going to be talking about Computers for Schools with Mary Ann Waddington, who is the director of the Computers for Schools program. But I tweeted out last week that they had given away their 120,000th computer. And a regular Twitter person that I follow on Twitter, and I think follows me, Peter Vogel, tweeted that they had gotten a whole whack of computers from Computers for School. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to just share that story? So joining me now online is Peter Vogel, who is a newspaper columnist on technology and the ICT coordinator or department head at Notre Dame High School. In over in the other booth, Art, who went to St. Thomas More, is gritting his teeth. Me, who went to Vancouver College, gritting our teeth because we have to respect an expert from Notre Dame. But thanks for coming on, Peter.
You're welcome.
Who won this year, by the way, in the football? Was it Vancouver College, Notre Dame, St. Thomas More? Who was the best? We don't know. Do you know?
I'm not on the football side, but it's been college the last few years.
Oh, good. Well, as it should be, the natural order has returned. Peter, tell me about what happened with the with your guys with Computers for Schools and your experience with them.
Well, I've dealt with Computers for Schools for several years. The most recent work with them was probably the most productive we've ever had, thanks to Wayne Johnson over there. He indicated that he had a whack of machines that had come from Coast Capital Savings.
Okay.
I asked if I could at least borrow one and generate it the way I'd like to use it in my school, and he then offered kindly to image them. We ended up buying around 80 or so of these boxes, and they've just been perfect.
So what happened? So you actually took one of the machines, got to know the specs, created a disk image exactly how you want it set up. Because one of the big challenges with any of this technology is making sure that the computers are in shape, that the computer coordinators in the different schools don't have to spend an inordinate amount of time getting them into shape and administering them.
That's right. And in the case of a school like mine, there is no tech help personnel. I am it.
Increasingly, that's the story in education in the province, too.
Yeah, so in this case, as soon as I knew that these were from Coast Capital Savings, I knew, well, these are all likely to be the same spec, the same model run. And if I can get my hands on enough of them and have them imaged and be able to buy these boxes at around $40 a piece.
Wow.
Plus we spent an extra $40 to bring them up to 2 gigs of RAM. I thought we would splurge.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just been crackerjack. We can't speak highly enough of computers for schools.
So in your particular case, instead of going out and purchasing new computers, which would have been, you say there's about 80 units, so even at a really good price, we're talking about $40,000 worth of computers, you were able to get the systems in place for a fraction of that. You have consistency across the platform, and so administering it is a lot easier. So here's a case where computers that would have been basically were end of life in industry are now going. How long do you think you'll get out of them?
Well, typically, we've dealt with computer schools for a number of years, and typically we push machines that we get from them another 3, 4, 5 years. So they'll already have served their 3 years at the original site, plus we're adding another 5 or so years to them. That's a huge saving for us.
Absolutely. And for me, one of the big keys is they've listened to what you need as far as tech specs, and they're making it easy for you to put in, because the last thing we need is for the computers from schools to come into the education system and then become a burden to whoever has to kind of deploy them to the students. And that sounds like they've managed to avoid that completely.
Right. And I'm not sure if the imaging work that Wayne Johnson there did for us, if that's a regular part of their line of work, but he offered it for us, and it was apparently a good experience for his staff. He has a lot of volunteer staff over there, so it's good for them and it's good for me.
Peter Vogel is a physics teacher, ICT coordinator, and the technology columnist from Notre Dame. Thanks so much for your time, Peter.
You're welcome, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
For us, and it was apparently a good experience for his staff. He has a lot of volunteer staff over there, so it's good for them and it's good for me.
Peter Vogel is a physics teacher, ICT coordinator, and the technology columnist from Notre Dame. Thanks so much for your time, Peter.
You're welcome, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you. And joining me now on the line is Mary M. Waddington, who is the Executive Director at Computers for Schools BC. And we have a big congratulations for you, Mary M. You guys passed a huge milestone last week.
We did. We're really excited about it. 120,000 computers that we've distributed across BC since 1994.
1994. There's art class.
Thank you. Oh, canned applause.
Well, you know something? That wasn't actually Ken. That was actually Art doing it. He's a very talented producer, he does well. So Computers for Schools, for any listeners who don't know, essentially is a program that takes computers that have served their useful life in industry. You go through, you refurbish them, you give them second life, and you get them back into the community, into our education sector, and make sure that they're well used with students across the province.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We are actually Canada's largest and oldest not-for-profit computer refurbisher. And the BC program is part of the National Computers for Schools program, which is administered by Industry Canada. And nationally, we have donated over 1 million computers into Canadian education system and not-for-profit organizations.
And that's something that you're not just giving computers to K-12 schools. You also do some post-secondary stuff, and you also do some other community stuff, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So our name is a little bit confusing to some of our other client groups now because it is Computers for Schools. But in actuality, we have expanded our mandate to include public libraries, community access sites, not-for-profit organizations with a learning mandate, as well as, of course, independent schools.
So I guess the biggest question is, how current are the computers that are typically flowing into the system?
What we're looking for is a computer that's about, between 3 and 5 years old, they come in. And what we find is that when the economy is good, the computer donations are really good. And when the economy is not so good, the computer donations are not so good, as businesses tend to hold on to them for another year and extend their evergreen cycle that way.
Okay. And do you see bumps when there's big revs, like when Windows 7 comes out? Do you see a little bump in donations because companies then upgrade them?
We didn't see as big as a bump with Windows 7 as we did when Y2K happened, obviously.
Okay.
It was a nightmare. But
well, and I think a lot of companies would see you guys as a convenient disposal, where they're saying, and they're giving you really old systems. What do you do in that case? Do you just say thanks but no thanks?
We say thanks but no thanks, and we're really grateful that there's such a good electronic stewardship program in BC, so yes. that it's, we don't have to worry about where the equipment's going to end up. We know that if reuse is not a viable option for it, that it can be appropriately recycled. And there are a lot of other reuse organizations in the Vancouver area as well that might be interested in taking the equipment as well.
Now, you are looking at for companies as opposed to individuals donating computers. You're looking for quantity as opposed to just, I have this old PC that I'm not using anymore, and I think it's still good, and so me donating that. You're looking for you're looking for corporate support, basically.
We're looking for corporate support. That's really important because they, like you said, have the large volumes of identical machines that we really need. When we have schools asking for equipment, they're looking for, you know, to replace a lab, so that's 30 computers, and they want them all, and they need them all to be exactly the same for ease of imaging and troubleshooting, and just to make, you know, to make it look aesthetically pleasing for the students to go in and use the equipment as well.
Well, beyond the aesthetics, just the support of having identical machines that can all be configured. We just spoke with Peter Vogel, and he talked about how important it was that he could image a disk exactly as he wanted, and then he got 80 machines, I think he said, from you that were all identical, so his administrative support was far less than it would have been if he was dealing with a hodgepodge of systems.
Yes, exactly. And we did the same thing with the Victoria School District last summer, where we actually imaged 2,000 computers for them. That was a huge boon to the district, and they saw so much value in the computers and the work that we were able to provide to the district.
Now, is it just desktops, or are you guys doing notebooks now as well?
Oh, we've been doing notebooks for a number of years now, since the early 2000s. And, you know, we're looking for all sorts of equipment. Basically, the key need really is still for desktops, and particularly for the dual-core machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it could pour down LCD monitors, I would be thrilled. we need monitors like nobody's business.
But, oh, okay. Well, that's
You know, laser printers. You know, if you got if the company has a digital projector that they're not using, schools are thrilled to have that. We run some smart boards through the program as well. So any kind of these new peripheral pieces that companies don't use anymore often have their useful life more than doubled in the classroom setting. So it's a real good advantage to supporting a reuse program like computers for schools.
Now, I'm having a bit of a flashback. I'm remembering that back in the day, was it the telephone pioneers that supported you guys by refurbishing the systems and working them through? Was that your organization that they worked with?
Yes, that's exactly right. We were co-founded by Industry Canada and the Telephone Pioneers.
Okay, and now what happens now when systems come in? How do you get them ready to go back out?
Well, the Pioneers as an organization don't exist in BC anymore, but
yes.
We hire approximately 20 20 youth each year to refurbish computers.
Oh, okay.
And so that's they've gone through some post-secondary education in the computer or information technology field. They have their book learning. What they need is a hands-on experience. So we're really that bridge in between, I have experience, or I have learning, but I need to have experience to get their first job. So when they come in here, they work on every computer, every model. They know exactly what they're doing when they go on to their next employment position.
Wow. So that internship program trains 20 IT people per year on hardware. That's
yeah.
And those students, and where are you based? Is it still in Burnaby?
Yeah, we're still in Burnaby. Yeah, and in addition to the 20 technicians that we hire per year, we get about 60 high school students that come in for 1 week work experience placements as part of their graduation requirements.
Okay.
And those youth technicians, in addition to honing their hard skills, their IT skills, get the soft skills in terms of working with the team and mentoring and doing that shadow support.
Mm-hmm.
That's really vital in a lot of corporate environments where they move into a team environment.
Now, if people are looking to donate, you've got some good information on your website about the standard computers that you're looking for, the levels, and that sort of stuff. How does it work as far as shipping and stuff? Do they have to get them to your door?
No, we want to make it as easy as possible for corporations to support the program. So they're just encouraged to contact myself or Wayne, and we make the pickup arrangements with the courier company. We're going to wipe your hard drive again. Hopefully the donor has already wiped it, but we do wipe it again as the first thing that happens when it comes in our door. The computer gets reused, and because we're a registered charity, the corporation gets a tax receipt.
Well, they get a tax receipt for the – and how do you establish the price of the systems?
We have an online evaluator that we use.
Oh, excellent.
It looks at fair market pricing across North America.
So the accountants and financial folk in the company will be happy as well.
Exactly. So not only are they they're doing something good with their end of life, or you know, their end of environment equipment, but they're getting a tax receipt for it as well.
So you've done a total of 120,000 computers to date. What's that an annual run rate? Like, how many are you doing per year then?
Well, we've actually, our distribution goal for this fiscal year, which ends March 31, was 7,000 computers, and we're just shy of 8,000 computers right now. So we're averaging about 1,000 computers a month right now, and some months have been better than others. But yeah, we've been doing between 6,000 to 8,000 computers over the last, per year, for so the last couple of years.
If you're doing 8,000 computers that are mainly going into labs within schools, and the schools are, say, having five periods per day, there's 40,000 students that are touching your computers. Is that right? Is my math right?
Yeah, that sounds
ballpark.
About right.
40,000 computer students that are that are benefiting from this in our education system each and every year.
I like to think too, because the program's so old. You know, it's when we put a computer into a kindergarten classroom back in 1994, that kid's graduated university now.
Mm. And you've been with them almost since day one, ma'am.
Not almost, but yeah, quite a few years.
Mary M. Waddington is the, well, I got to get your job title correct here. It is Executive Director at Computers for Schools BC. We will have a link to their website, but if you do want to go right away, it is cfsbc.ca. Thanks and congratulations on 120,000 computers on behalf of the whole province. Thank you
so much, Steve.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. MacTech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Rick Yeager is an expert on all things Mac, and he also has a website called appman.tv where you basically go on to Urban Rush and talk to them about apps.
That's how it started off, but I'm working on stuff behind the scenes.
Okay, you're expanding it.
I am expanding.
So I challenge you. I said, give me your three best productivity apps.
Well, anytime somebody gives me a three best anything app, my first one is always Evernote.
Okay.
It's my favorite game, too.
So easy. It's the best app ever.
Yeah. It's free, or if you want to go for premium, it's $45 a year for more space. And no?
I don't know anybody that's paid for it.
That was me.
Did you? You bought the premium? Good for you.
Yeah. You can put text. You can put photos. I use it to, when I'm just going around the bookstore, and say, oh, that's an interesting one. Snap a picture of the book.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that it doesn't really do OCR, optical character recognition, but it does find words in pictures.
Yes.
So if I have just taken a trip to Chapters or Indigo or whatever, and I do a search for Heather, I get a whole bunch of pictures of Heather's picks.
Okay.
So all of the books that have made the list of Heather's picks.
So we should explain a little bit more what Evernote is in case anybody hasn't explored Evernote. Evernote to me is a Uber clipping service. It's just any little bit of data that I find interesting that I can either clip off of a web page, take a picture with my phone, pull out of an email, any little bit of data that I can grab that I want to catalog and I want to get back to at some other point, it manages it, stores it on the cloud so I can access it from any device.
Right. And you can access it from your desktop computer. You can even go into, like, if you're in a hotel, you could log in on their computer, log into your account online through your browser.
And the example I always give for people, and this one always seems to hit home, is instead of filling your wallet with receipts from the restaurant, take a picture of the receipt and then store it in Evernote. Just save it in Evernote. And then you tag it. You say, I was out to lunch with Steve. And then when you're going to do your expenses, you just go and look for Steve, and up comes the expense.
You've already got
a digital file of it. You can attach it to your email to send to the accountant or whatever you want, but it's stored, it's cataloged. And that's the other key to Evernote, is you get to add metadata. You get to tag everything with ancillary information so you can find it when you need it.
Yeah, and you can organize them in folders. If you're a folder person, if you're a tag person, you can put little tags in your photos, your audio clips, whatever you put in there. And I find that it's great for just collecting web pages, because I can email them to myself. You get this super secret Evernote email address that I can send stuff to. If it doesn't fit in any other category, or if it's inconvenient to use it that way, I can just email it to myself.
And you've got it.
And I've got it.
Evernote, number one in productivity. I agree. Everybody should learn to use Evernote.
And
number two.
Number two, I'm going to say Bento.
Bento. Okay, now Bento is the is an organizational tool that's based on the Bento box food concept. Am I right?
It's something like that. It's
so you've got sushi in one, you've got rice in another, you've got the funny little sad salad in the third compartment. Explain to me,
okay,
Bento.
Okay, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
It's a simple database creation, and if you're going to put it on an iDevice, it better be simple. And what the people at FileMaker who make this,
yes,
what they have done is made little templates so that you can set up projects to collect your contacts. Well, it's already got a contacts.
I like my explanation better.
Okay. You like, okay. Okay. To-do so items, recipes, a diet log, events calendar, inventory, all of those kind of things. They've got pre-made templates just for those.
Mm.
So you can enter in, like, if you're doing inventory for say, insurance purposes, just to find out what cool stuff you have in your house that you'd have to replace if it got burnt down.
So you build your, it's basically FileMaker for the iPhone?
It's FileMaker for the iPhone. It's even better on the iPad because you get all this space to work with, and you can make things pretty.
And there are a whole bunch of templates.
Whole bunch of great templates. My fiance and I, we use Bento to create a database of restaurants we'd like to visit.
Okay.
And once we visit them, we take a picture, and we can actually put the picture in the database of the great food or not so great food.
And how much is Bento? It's something that you have to buy, though. It's not a free one.
No,
oh, it's $49 for the single user. So if you buy it for the Mac, does the client work on all of your devices?
You have to buy it everywhere, which is the downfall of so many apps, is you've got to buy it here, you got to buy it there, and you got to buy it somewhere.
FileMaker. When are you guys going to learn?
Okay. And if it wasn't so darned handy, I wouldn't have paid for it, but then I'm the sucker that paid
so
the $45
on,
for
Evernote. Yeah, you bought it on each one of your platforms. Well, that's a concern. But other than that, see, that's why I thought it was their marketing. I'm looking at the picture, and it is a little Bento box with different
it
things
is.
In it. So I was right to a certain extent.
To a certain extent.
No food. Okay, so Bento is number two. And I'm going to... It better be good because it looks like it's going to cost you over $100 to get it on all of your different devices.
Well, considering
and that's
that,
a lot of money in today's app world.
You can build so many other apps. You can build a to-do app in it.
Okay.
You can build other apps that you'll, you know, have
and
to.
Okay.
That you'd have to adjust to your lifestyle. This one you can make it fit your lifestyle as it comes.
Okay.
My third was going to be Instapaper.
Yes.
Which is $5.
Yes.
But just recently in Safari, we've been given the feature of the reading list.
Yes.
Which makes it free. So
what Instapaper did was?
Was it allowed you to look at a web page on your lunch hour and, it's getting close to 1 o'clock. I don't have time to read this. It allowed you to basically snapshot it, send it to your Instapaper account so you could read it later.
Offline, yeah.
Offline. And now...
So it basically took it basically converted web pages into digital paper that you could read.
Exactly.
So you can, and it's a very cool app.
It still is a very cool app. But
and for people who aren't in the Macintosh world, it still is a cool app because they don't have this new reading feature in Safari.
They don't have it on their desktop, but if they have an iPad or an iPhone, they have it there, and it's hidden pretty well, actually.
Okay.
It's in your bookmarks. In Safari for the desktop, it's part of your bookmarks bar. It's got a nice little pair of glasses like my own.
Yeah, reading list. It's called reading list.
Yeah, and in mobile Safari, you have to hunt for it under your bookmarks.
Oh, okay. Now, how do I actually take this page and convert it into it? There it is. Tap the action button.
The action button is all things, anything you want to do with a web page, you press that little box with the arrow coming out of it. And,
oh, okay.
And it
I see.
Gives you...
Add to reading list. So the listeners are all going, I have no idea what you're talking about. So basically all it is, I'm actually on my iPad right now. I'm in Safari, the web browser. I'm at a page, web page. I'm still at the Bento page. I clicked on the little action button and it says add to reading list so that now that would take a snapshot of it and I can read it even when I'm not connected to the internet.
Right. And it creates almost like a to-do list of your reading.
Okay.
So you can say I've read this or I'm not going to read this. I can check it as read even though I lost interest in it.
Okay, but for the rest of the world that don't have that, Instapaper would be your app.
Instapaper's awesome.
Rick Yeager is appman.tv.
I am.
Thanks for coming in. And don't forget, if you're looking at courses, if you're looking to learn about using your Mac or any of your iOS devices, the courses down at MacStation are the way to start.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix?
Want to invite you all to visit the Dottotech website at www.dottotech.com. You can listen to this week's show or any of our previous 48 episodes. We're closing in on 50 episodes, Art.
That's a year.
Next week is our 50th episode.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And we have giveaways this week. We have some great giveaways on the site. You can drop by the site and register to win an LTE rocket stick from Rogers. I am using it right now.
You have to put it back in the box.
I'm going to have to put it back in the box. This is actually one that's going to be shipped out. It's so fast, up to 100 megabits per second download speed, which is unbelievably fast. 50 megabits per second upload. It is just a speed demon. So we're going to be giving that away in 2 weeks as well. It's tax time. What is next week? This week is the
today,
end of the RSP.
Today. Yeah.
Today. Oh, it is this week. Today is the RSP deadline.
Hopefully, I bought some yesterday.
Good for you, Art. Thank you. Way to be a responsible guy. And so that means you're going to file all your taxes this year?
I have to.
Now that we've been talking about it on air for a couple of weeks. You can also register to win a copy of TurboTax, which I quite like. I like using the online tax services. I think they're a great solution. So drop by the website. All of this and more good stuff at our website.
Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Back to Steve, and Steve's joined by Chris Gibson from London Drugs. Chris, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Just back from CES.
Yep.
And the show was?
Huge. Massive this year.
And you guys from London Drugs, I know because I've gone down with you before on a boondoggle trip, which was awesome for me. But I saw the guys when I flew down, and I saw the guys when I flew back. And in between, you guys worked from dawn to dusk. I never saw, and they looked haggard when we flew home.
Typically in that, no different this show. It was a very busy show. There's lots to see. Lots of meetings, lots of new things, new gadgets, all sorts of stuff down there.
Did you see anything that you wanted yourself outside of what you had to deal with as far as the work and purchasing for LD? Did you see anything that you said, I want one of those?
Oh, absolutely.
What?
Saw a line of Ferrari headsets, and in the center of the booth, they actually had the spinning Ferrari, which I would definitely take the car.
A real Ferrari.
A real Ferrari. But actually, these headsets were beautiful. They had carbon fiber, the Ferrari badging, and just high-end looking headsets and docks. Probably one of the neatest booths I saw there for headphones, for sure.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk headphones in a couple of weeks coming up. But right now, I want to talk to you about the Galaxy Nexus phone, which was on display there. It's been out for a little while, and you guys are now selling it under several different flavors.
That's right. Basically, this is the Google phone. So it's made by Samsung, but Google basically had their hands in it the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is running the native operating system. It's running Android 4.0. So this
is called Gingerbread?
This is called Ice Cream
Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich. So a whole bunch of new features with this phone. It is an unlocked smartphone. So it's available on three different carriers at London Drugs, but it's basically if you go traveling, you can throw a SIM card on it in it wherever you go and get a local carrier.
Oh, okay. So that's unusual because we don't have the carriers in Canada have not offered very many unlocked phones. People traditionally, if they wanted their phone unlocked, had to go to some.
Most of the carriers, after you've been on their network for a while, will unlock it for a fee.
Okay.
So usually $50 or $75, depending on what carrier you're with, will unlock your phone. But certainly makes traveling around the world a lot easier and cheaper.
Having that capability.
Than having to pay those roaming fees.
Oh, yeah, because you can just buy a chip. You can just buy a pay-to-play card in whatever market you're in, and mm-hmm. then you've got a phone, and then at least for calling out back home. And you can call forward your phone from your home, your regular one, to that number, and you can save a lot. Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
It certainly makes a big difference. Okay, so it is Ice Cream Sandwich. This is one of the flagship products that's going to go head-to-head competing with the iPhone. And, of course, we know the Apple announcement this week, the iPhone just was stratospheric as far as its unit sales, off the charts.
Absolutely.
And so everybody else's work is cut out for them. But this one, Google seems to be getting their act together with the Android operating system on the phones, at least in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. This version of Android, Android 4.0, has all of the features that Android 3 and 2.3 had for the smartphone functionality, which incorporates most things, the interconnectivity between mailing something to your camera. Just as you go into all of the features of the phone, they're pretty much seamlessly integrated. Mm-hmm. This is just so much cleaner and a nicer interface. They've redone the design of it. It's just a cool-looking phone.
Now, my big criticism of the Android phones that I've used up until now, and I am using the earlier version of the Nexus phone mm-hmm. now, which I like best of all of the phones that I've used in the Android world, but the manufacturers were taking Android and they were kind of adding their own interface over the top. And yeah. for me, it bothered me because I had to, every time I picked up a different phone, I had to learn to use it.
Yeah.
And they didn't work the way that I expected always. And so I found my early experience with Android frustrating. But now they're starting to get, it seems to be standardizing, and they're starting to add some interface features that are making it much more, giving it much more personality itself, but also the manufacturers are trusting Google to provide the operating system and staying with it.
Absolutely. It's hard to perfect a good thing when Android's done such a good job now of getting it to the level that they're at. Manufacturers have taken a hands-off approach because this is, if you use this phone, which is basically designed by Google, Samsung's kept their hands off. They've just created the hardware for the phone. It's such a seamless user experience that they're starting to pay attention to it. And Google's come a long way in making the operating system
seamless. And there's a couple of features that people are really noticing, but the one big one is facial recognition now, which is what we're starting to see in their ads.
Yep. That's one of the biggest features they have to unlock your phone rather than entering a password or a sequence or whatever your unlock thing is. You basically hold the phone up to your face. It'll have a look at your face and it'll unlock based on your facial recognition, which is kind of cool.
Now, what we know that we're in trouble if it unlocks your face and then immediately takes you to a workout site if it sees that you're looking a little bit pudgy, or a meditation site if it looks like you're looking a little bit stressed. But it's not doing that at this point.
Not yet, no.
But that is very cool. Using the forward-facing, the front-facing camera, mm-hmm. and it basically maps the phone. And did you try it? Have you tried it and played with it, or have you?
I tried to try it on the CES floor. unfortunately, it's pretty noisy down there, and couldn't get it to work successfully because you have to go in and set it up for you specifically.
Yes.
So it has to know you to recognize you first of all. But
well, I actually have some experience with it because we did play with this over Christmas.
Okay.
A good friend of mine, his son works for Google, and he had just come up for the Christmas holidays, had the new Nexus phone, was playing with it, so I got to play with it a little bit, and he was just setting up for facial recognition. I saw it happen for the first time, and it was fine. It worked just great.
Yeah.
And so that's impressive. The other thing that I liked was I started to see new interface options, things like, for instance, getting rid of junk email is a hassle. You have to click them all, and then you have to say, find another menu to have it delete the mail. With this, you just swipe to the left and it deleted the email. You swipe to the right and it opened the email. So it was really nice. I saw some Apple-like consistency to the interface that was unique to Android, which I really liked.
Yep.
Now, the one thing I want to mention is all of the different carriers, their versions of this phone are not identical because Rogers, you can get it on the LTE network, which is super fast.
Well, if you put an LTE SIM card in it, it will support the LTE network,
yes.
but it is the same phone across
it's
all
It's the same
networks.
Phone across them all. Yeah. So as the other ones bring on LTE, this phone will be able to adapt.
Yep, then. Switch it out for an LTE SIM card and you'll be able to get LTE.
Super. So that's the Galaxy Nexus phone. My guest, Chris Gibson from London Drugs, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me on the line now is an old friend, Jim Galpin, who is the manager of channel sales for North America for Avast Security. Thanks for coming on, Jim.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
Avast is a really popular online, primarily available online, security solution. And Jim has been in the security game for as long as anybody I can remember. And it just doesn't get any safer out there, does it, Jim?
there's always something there to cause us grief and trouble, so we always have to be aware.
Grief and trouble for the rest of the world, it warms your heart.
Yeah. Every time somebody has a problem, I'm making money.
You know, I just installed some software on my smartphone for Bump to allow me to exchange information back and forth just by tapping my my knuckles against somebody else with their phone. And as I was installing this, I was thinking, oh my gosh, just what in the world is happening in the world of mobile security? Because it's not something that we give a lot of thought to, but I am now exchanging information back and forth. I hear people like PayPal are talking about having using my cell phone or my phone to be able to just, you know, touch and make payments on in terminals. And I'm thinking, wow, this is an opportunity both for commerce and for the bad guys.
Well, it's very true, and I think we've just sort of scratched the surface a little bit. I know in the U.S. they're already starting to do banking with scanned copies of checks and things of that, all done with your smartphone. So it's getting to be pretty challenging. But we really need to make sure that our smartphones are protected. Android phones, there's lots of them out there. I guess you've got two platforms, Android and the iPhone. There's lots of security programs available for the Android phone. And many of them are free. And even the free ones are fantastic. And everybody should make sure that they have some security on the iPhone. You think of the data that you keep on it, all your contact list, your phone numbers, your email, corporate email, your bank cards. You do your bank transactions all on your smartphone now, not necessarily on your computer.
Yeah, all your loyalty cards. I use a program that keeps all my loyalty cards there, which gives access to all of my stuff.
Yeah, extremely important to make sure that you protect your phone because you have data there that's very important, and you don't want it to get lost, stolen. And the other thing that most of these smartphone security programs do is have a feature on it that will help you shut it down, lock it up, make it useless if somebody steals it or you lose it. You can always turn it back on, but those are some of the features that you want to look for in a smartphone security program.
Now, are we kind of in the same place as we are in the PC game in that the Apple users are a little bit less at risk than the Android users? Because Android is such an open system. Is it going to be the main target for the hackers at this point?
Yeah, at this point it is. And it is, again, a proprietary thing around, Apple's sort of proprietary with their operating system, where the Android system is open to anybody, and there's lots of different companies using it, and it's not as secure. So we just have to be aware of that and protect ourselves because of it.
Now, you folks have a lot of your software is available for free download, and you have more advanced versions that you can purchase. You have a good mobile solution?
Our mobile solution is fantastic. It's got great reviews. People feel free to go up to the internet and look at it. At Avast.com, it's a free app. Interesting, when it was first launched in January, we got 1 million users in 16 days. It's been just widely accepted. And again, it's free, and it rivals most of the other paid apps too. So, small plug, but we're not asking for any money. You'll just love it.
Now we've reached the point where you're actually recommending to everybody security software for your phone as well.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's I tell you. Well, you know what? It's good. It's good that we're getting the message out. We don't have to like the message, but it's good that it's getting out there.
Well, it's best to be protected, right? I mean, all we want to do is make sure we're safe.
And as you say, and we do so much more with our smartphones now. I mean, we do it. To me, we were talking about nomophobia on the show last week, where people are panicking at the thought of losing their cell phone. Are you nomophobic, Jim? If you didn't have your cell phone, would you turn around and drive home to pick it up?
I'd be worried for sure.
You'd get off the airplane to go back. But yeah. the bottom line is that we're using it so much.
It's got everything on it.
Yeah, absolutely. It has absolutely everything on it. But what about back in the traditional world of our homes and our desktop computers? Now, one thing before we talk about the phishing scams, which I know go on, and I want to make sure we talk about, is I'm wondering what's happening as we're really starting to build out our home networks. So many people are now setting up media file sharing so that they have a central PC and they're sharing their music and their television and their video over a small home network. The very nature of that means that the network has to be a little bit more open. Is that putting home networks a little bit more at risk for people coming in and invading?
Yeah, I think it means that our networks are doing a lot more than they used to do, and our networks are open all the time. We have we don't turn our computer off at night anymore, so we need to make sure that all our things are protected all the time. So we want to guard for those kind of things, and there's lots of great solutions out there now for small home networks. You can buy little managed solutions that you can purchase for your all your computers in your house, where you can manage it from one little console. So you can make sure that all your kids' computers have the latest virus definitions, and you can see when things are out of date or when things aren't connected to the network. I mean, a lot of those kind of things. It's not really parental controls. It's really managing the solution in your house the same way you might do in a small business as well.
So you have one console for the software that will allow you to see and update the virus definitions, that make sure that all of the computers are up to date and they don't have backdoors open, that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
And again, that's I know you don't want to plug a VAST too much, but that's available in your guys'
Yeah, we have a product. It's not a free product, but yes, we have a small, we would call it a business product, really, but it's essentially the kind of thing that I've installed in my house. It's pretty cool. It looks after things. If you have laptops and you take them to work, they will continue to be updated and continue to work, even though it may not be connected to your home network. So it turns on to sort of automatic state or disconnected state and continues to operate the same as it would if it was connected to your network. Now, you mentioned something earlier, though, and I think just one little thing that I want to talk about, and that was on the phishing side of things.
Yes.
You know, we've been hammered by those kind of things for the last number of years. And lately, just from us locally here in the Vancouver area, many of us are Shaw customers. And you may get emails from what looks like Shaw telling you that your email account is expired or it's reached its limit. Those are all scams. They're all trying to get you to give you your Shaw account number or your credit card number and things like that. Just want to make people aware. And I know I've got emails from Shaw letting us know that. But I think it's just, again, one of those kind of things where we just want to be careful. The kind of things we look at and how we respond to them are appropriate.
These phishing attacks.
You don't want to give away numbers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, these phishing attacks can be quite sophisticated and look quite polished. I get them and I notice them because I bank a lot at Bank of Montreal and their M-Banks, their online service, and I regularly get a phishing attack that's sending through about how somebody's tried to access my M-Banks account or something like that. And there's always a link embedded within these emails. They're asking you to click on the link, and it'll bring you to a site that looks identical to the login screen of Bank of Montreal, or in that case, it would be a Shaw webmail. And that point there, it's not, though, the real site. What it's doing is, and it might even pass you through into the real site when it's done, but what it's going to do is it's going to skim off your password and your account number as you sign in.
Exactly. Those are the things. And you sometimes look at the language on some of the basic emails you might get. Many of them aren't designed here in North America. They come from another country somewhere on the other part of the world. Look at how it's written. Does the language make sense? Would a North American person write the paragraphs that way? Those are telltale signs that this is a phishing scam. The first thing you want to do is hit the delete button, throw it in a trash can, get rid of it. Don't even go near it. Just get rid of it, and then don't run any risk.
And never log on to any of your accounts through an embedded link in an email.
Absolutely.
Always navigate directly through the web browser.
Absolutely.
That's good advice. Now, I'm looking at your guys' website here, Jim, and I'm seeing that you've got a VAST backup, and you've also got a VAST EasyPass password management. I want to ask you about both those. First of all, your backup. Are you guys getting into cloud computing with everybody else?
Yeah, well, this is a small solution that we know customers need to protect their data from, so this is designed to make sure people can do their backup. Make sure that's up to the cloud. Online backup is really a great solution because you don't have to worry about extra hard drives or cables or things like that. And it's all secure and it's safe, and you can always restore it whenever you need it. And it's an inexpensive way to look after things, and you know it's secure. And again, the password manager is just a small little inexpensive solution to make sure that you encrypt your passwords so that if somebody does hack in, they can't see those passwords. They can't. You're protected from that aspect. I just think little things that we all have to do to protect ourselves. Again, common sense is one thing. Backing up is another thing. I mean, it's the same thing. We've got important data, family pictures, and all that kind of stuff that we want to keep, forever. And we want to make sure that we have them at some point when we want to get them back. So.
Well, I think people should all have a good backup plan for all of, especially those family memories, the photos and the, more than anything, family pictures. And I think that using an online backup, as well as using a hard drive as well, locally at home, using a, you know, using the two different levels of backup is just, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to friends or had people write me saying, you know, my computer crashed or I lost my computer and all of my pictures are there and
yeah,
they're devastated.
Yeah, it's the old fault-tolerant thing, right? You got to make sure you have double backups for everything. And those are important things. It's like, you know, it's like having a picture and your house burns down and it's gone forever. If you have it in a couple of different locations, you know, you're protected forever.
Never get it back. And part of that, one of the issues now is our technology is becoming so darned reliable that when a hard drive does fail, it used to be something that we could accept and we would, you know, oh, my hard drive crashed. We used to say that to each other all the time. It doesn't happen very much anymore.
Yeah, things are very, very, nothing breaks. They're very durable. And technology, too, is embedded into our lives so much more than it was, even 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, again, back to the smartphone. How many of us have wax of pictures on our smartphone or tablets? You know, we're walking around with our iPad or our Android tablet or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, we got lots of data and information, pictures, all of that. You know, you got to look after those kind of things.
Yeah, one of the first things I set up on my iPhone was photo stream sharing, so that as soon as I take a picture on the iPhone, as soon as it gets into my Wi-Fi network, it copies it over into my iPhoto, and my iPhoto backs up every day onto a time machine, and once a week, everything backs up onto the cloud. So yeah. I'm making sure that's my strategy. I make sure it's backed up everywhere.
If we can impress that to everybody else, I think that's a good step in the right direction.
Thanks so much. Jim Galpin is the manager of channel sales for North America for Avast. If you want to check out any of their security solutions, avast.com. But I think Jim will heartily endorse saying, regardless of where you want to choose the Avast product or look at another one, make sure you're using a good security product, a good backup product, and make sure that you're... And if especially if you're on an Android phone now, take a look and make sure you're getting some security on that as well.
Absolutely.
Jim Galpin, thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, my pleasure, Keith.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
So, Art Factor, we have reached the end of yet another episode of Dotto Tech this February 29th, leap day, ahead of our 50th show. That'll be next week. Next week, guess what we got coming up? You don't know yet, but I do.
I hope there's cake if we're celebrating a first-year anniversary.
It's not our first year yet, because it's show 50, and there's 50, how many, 52?
No, we took time off at Christmas and Easter last year.
No, we didn't take time off. We did shows.
I just want cake, okay?
Next week, we've got Mike Kozlowski is going to come back on the show. We're going to talk ebook readers.
Oh.
It's and what's happening in that way. It's been a while since we've talked about
that. Industry changes so much. He's probably got three or four new ones on the go.
He probably does. Now, I do have to ask you, you've now had it for a couple of months. How's the iPhone 4S working out for you?
Oh, I love the thing. It is turned into everything from my note taker to I write jokes in the notepad. I make sure my calendar's up to date so I can. I'm not really late for many things. I'm late for some things.
Sensitive question for you then, Art Factora.
Yes.
Samsung Galaxy Tab. You bought it before you bought your iPhone. What's the story with the tab? Is it yesterday's news?
Well, I have found a use for it.
Which is?
Because I don't have cable. I just have the antenna, so I've got three channels.
Yeah.
Bell offers this TV on demand.
Okay.
So I did buy that for, it's like $5 a month, and I can get channels like TSN, CTV, but it's on a little tiny screen. So right before bed, if I want to catch a bit of news or watch some sports highlights, it is convenient.
How do you watch the hockey games?
CBC. That's
yeah. You
really
watch hockey in Canada.
Yeah, and you watch
over
hockey
the air.
In Canada.
But like if it's a Sportsnet game,
I do have an app on my iPhone.
Oh, you have this
the Vancouver Canucks.
The Canucks app. So yes. That's like $20 a year, right?
There's only 10.
In
I only
10
bought it for 10. Yeah, and I can pick up every game, and it's awesome.
And that's on your iPhone or on your iPad?
On your iPhone.
It's on your iPhone, so you're watching on the very small screen. Oh, but do you have Apple TV?
Yes.
So you can.
I can.
So you then you stream it to the large screen TV. How's the quality?
The quality is, well, I've only done it 3G. I haven't done Wi-Fi yet because I hadn't had Wi-Fi connected. So I think with the Wi-Fi connection, it'll be crisper.
Yes.
But right now on 3G, it's still watchable.
Okay.
But yeah, on the iPhone, it's beautiful.
Good stuff. Well, that's it. We've run out of time, haven't we? We should wrap things up. Join us next week. We're going to talk e-book readers. I'm Steve Dotto on behalf of Art Factor. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time right here for Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.